Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where you, the investor, get to listen as Chris Perry grills the best and the brightest in the corporate sector to help you find out who's the wheat and who's the chaff. In today's episode, Chris speaks with ZoomAway Travel Incorporated President and CEO Sean Schaefer. We join the interview when Sean is giving just a little bit of background, and then he goes on to describe the beginnings of ZoomAway Travel Incorporated, currently trading on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ZMA. Listen in.
So basically, I grew up here in Reno, Nevada. That's where our office is located. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in the casino business here in town. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of started valet parking, bellman, worked my way up to the marketing office, and jumped around to a couple of the hotel casinos here in the area, a couple of the large ones, mm-hmm. and was working sales, group sales, leisure activities. You know, I'd handle the golf and ski groups at some of these bigger properties. And while I was doing that over a couple year span, I'd get phone calls and people say, "Hey, it's just me and three buddies. We want to come stay at the hotel for 3 nights, play a couple rounds of golf. What do you got for us?" Mm-hmm. And there was no mechanism in place at all. And, you know, packaging rooms and activities just didn't exist in the late 80s, you know, and throughout the 90s. Mm-hmm. And, as I jumped around from property to property, I started to see the same opportunity. And it wasn't so much just the demand that we were getting. It was the fact that hotels are just so, you know, so stuck in the same operating model that they've been in since the, you know, the 40s or 50s. They all have a front desk where you register. They've all got a reservations department. And typically every reservations department is chock full of anywhere from 40 to 60-year-old ladies. typically, strangely enough, the lowest paid employees in a hotel typically are in reservations or housekeeping. Okay. You know, and they're frontline people. But the systems that hotels are provided are all, you know, built to do just one thing. They're built to let you book a room that's either available or not, mm-hmm. And move on. You can't add a golf course down the road or a ski resort, you know, up the mountain. It's the complexity of the quoting that really gets them. So, you know, a typical call that comes in on a package is, "Hey, I've got 8 guys, and we're doing a guys' golf trip, and each of the rooms is going to be double occupancy. Two of the rooms are going to stay 4 nights, and those 4 guys are going to play 4 rounds of golf at these 4 golf courses." Mm-hmm. The third room's going to stay 3 nights, and those 2 guys want to play these 3 golf courses. The last room, those 2 guys are only going to stay 1 night and play 1 of the golf courses. Price that up for me and get it set up so that each of the guys can call in and pay for it individually.
Got it.
Well, at a hotel, if you bounce that off a reservations person in any hotel anywhere in the world, their head's going to explode.
Yeah.
And I started to kind of see that, you know, in this market especially, in my hometown, there was no opportunity for this segment and nobody to handle it. So I started pitching, you know, all my casino friends to actually let me become them. So transfer the calls to me. I would mm-hmm. answer the phone. Like say it's Circus here in Reno. Mm-hmm. If you call and ask for a golf package, you get transferred over and we answer the phone, Circus golf package department.
Got it.
So the beauty of the idea in the beginning was that somebody else does the marketing, and I perform the function that they can't do for themselves.
Okay.
And made for a good business model. So in the early days, in the 2000s, we started the company in 1999, my company, which is different than ZoomAway. ZoomAway purchased the assets of my company, and, you know, that's a different story. But we built technologies that would make this not just a phone process. So in 2000, 2001, we developed room management systems, online tee time systems where we can connect to any golf course real time anywhere in the world via the internet, online lift ticketing systems, transportation management systems, all to just make this whole process seamless and bookable online.
I used to live in Vegas, and I know from the resorts there, and they don't even refer to themselves as casinos, they're resorts. They're all-inclusives. you've got the pool and you've got the nightclub and you've got the concierge out front who's going to organize everything for you. It seems like Big Vegas understands it, but Big Hotel doesn't.
Right. And what they can do is they can facilitate you as you walk in the door. Things. They can't pre-plan things for you, and they're really probably not willing to do that for you. So the concierge guy can help you make a tea time after you book a room, but you're booking a room and you're making a tea time, two different processes, not the same transaction, not a one-stop.
Got it.
You're paying two different people for two different functions.
And you're paying full price.
Yeah, and the hotel has no trackability in any of this. They just know they had a room reservation for John Smith. They don't know that he's interested in golf, and they don't put him in a database where they can continue to market to him. We do that for him. But right now, we're taking off in Vegas. We actually have more clients in Las Vegas now than we do in Reno, Tahoe. And that's been the goal through this transition and the Zoom Away taking over the company, is to get out of just one location, to spread this good message out, you know, into all kinds of different destinations. And right now we're focused on year-round warm weather places, Vegas, Palm Springs. You know, we're trying to stay out of the weather business, which is something that's hampered our efforts in the Reno Tahoe market for a couple years with the lack of snow. The skis are a very big part of what we do, but we'll bundle anything with rooms. So we do a healthy spa packaging business. We have entertainment. We just launched two interfaces for the Winter Wondergrass Festival in Tahoe, the Bluegrass Festival that sells out every year at Squaw Valley, and just launched those tools today. So entertainment, special events, you name it, we'll put together mechanisms that'll make booking easy for people.
It makes a lot of sense. I recently tried to book a little vacation away on one of the islands over here, and between trying to coordinate flights in and flights out, and you know what was available in terms of things to do when we got there, and it really was an all-day affair just trying to plan how we were going to get there, where we were going to stay, and what was close to it that we could do. This makes a lot more sense to actually be able to get somebody to do all that heavy lifting for you, because you've got a system in front of you that tells you exactly what's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And we put a mechanism in front of hotels. We're embedded in hotels, golf courses, ski resorts, you name it. But we put for hotels specifically, you know, they're all fighting back against the Expedias of the world right now. And we brand our technology to look like their website. And we give them a tool that just enhances the whole experience for someone like you that's going to the hotel website. We're giving them one more tool to put in the arrow to say, book with me, don't book with Expedia.
And for a business where the margins aren't so hot necessarily all the time, giving a big wedge to Expedia to send you a cut price deal is not necessarily great business.
What happens in the industry right now is where the understanding has to happen with people that don't deal with it every day is the price wars and the margin wars that are going on between the Expedia side and the Priceline side. A lot of their business is room only. And hotels, almost everyone in the world now have, you know, almost all of them have adopted a best rate guarantee. That says, hey, the best rate at my hotel is going to be on my hotel website, not on Expedia. But when Expedia bundles that room with air or car, the hotel's willing to drop its pants and give an outstanding margin as long as the rate is hidden or bundled. So that's the thing that happens in the industry that, you know, the layperson normally doesn't understand. But for room-only reservations, Expedia and Priceline, they're in that 12 to 15% range, slogging it out, and it's a turf and price war going on with those guys. But we're, you know, traditionally our margins average, you know, anywhere from 22 to 24%. And that's also including through some lean years. So we're able to margin off of a net room rate at a hotel, a discounted room rate that's a bundle rate, so very aggressive because it's not displayed. A net rate on the activity, whether it be golf or ski or spa, whatever it may be, and you know, put those things together in one bundle price and make it easy to book. So we haven't had to deal with too much of that margin war that's going on out there in the world right now.
Having used Priceline a few times, I can tell you that they've got a good beat on which hotel rooms are next to the ice machine.
Oh, yeah. If you look at every travel website out there today, they're almost all identical. You put in what city you want to go to, and what you get back is a long string of all the hotels available in the market, hardly any of them tell you anything about the place you're going, the destination that you're going to.
Yeah.
They don't point out the golf courses and ski resorts. A lot of them have activities, but they're buried in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this directly from some of these guys, Expedia, a friend of mine that used to work at Orbitz. They're all in love with the process of getting on the website and getting to the credit card in 30 seconds or a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's the love they have, is their process, like speed. Let's go. Let's just churn volume.
Right.
They don't want to distract people with 200 or 300 other things to do while you're there. They just want to stick in the same model that they've been in. They're trying to do something, though. If you look at the purchases in the market over the last few years, they know they've got to change things. TripAdvisor, which I believe is on the Expedia side, bought an activities company called Viator for $220 million cash in 2014. And Viator has a list of 5,000 or 6,000 tours worldwide that are, I mean, some of it's just garbage off the beaten path, like the Sex and the City tour in New York City. There's a camel ride in Dubai. I mean, it's stuff that's just not mainstream. But
mm-hmm.
$220 million cash? Are you kidding me?
Sorry, the plan for Zoomaway is to take it a city-by-city approach and to cover the heavily trafficked places and then expand outwards. Is that as I understand it?
Yeah, the plan right now is to focus on those warm weather destinations and primarily West Coast U.S. We want to add Vancouver. We want to get some stuff going in Mexico. But from here, we've got some Southern Cal work that needs to be done, some Napa work. And then we need to shoot straight across through Texas and get into that Florida market, some of the Mexico market. Mexico's a little tougher because there are a lot of those all-inclusive resorts.
Yeah, sure.
But a hotel is a hotel, and their inability to bundle things and make it bookable online, it doesn't matter if it's inclusive or not. They just don't have the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm. And so the appeal for the small hotel operator with you guys is that you bring them a website, a white-labeled website, that allows them to have the functionality of a large hotel chain without the margin killing of Expedia, et cetera, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're still paying a margin to an operator like
uh-huh.
they would Expedia, but they don't have the upfront costs, and we bundle all the rooms so they can be as aggressive as they want.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever going to see a dirt cheap room rate out there. The large chains don't have this functionality either. But our goal as we're spreading into these new markets is we're finding hoteliers, hotel groups that have 4 or 5 hotels in their portfolio. We're dealing with some that have 20 hotels. You know, we're not going after the Marriott,
the Hiltons,
you know,
yeah.
chains of the world. We're going after smaller ones like destination hotels that have 20 in the portfolio, a couple in California, a couple in Florida, a couple in Colorado. You know, those are the kind of targets we're going after, is these smaller hotel groups that we can, you know, go in and give the pitch to one guy that can effectively embed our tools in 20 properties after one meeting.
So is that a strategy to keep a little bit under the radar until you've got some sort of critical mass in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, we're not publicizing that anywhere, but
mm-hmm.
I've been shocked as I've been kind of growing out of the shell of just, you know, this one market at how many operators are out there that have multiple hotels in their portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys that get into this industry, they buy 3 or 4 hotels, turn them around, and buy 3 or 4 more. There's a lot of that out there, but that's one of the strategies, is just identify those in each of these markets. And really, when we go into a new place, we just need to sign up one customer, and that's how it happened for us in Vegas as well. You get one guy to embed this white label tool in his website,
mm-hmm.
and the guys down the street, the guys, you know, on the other side of town, we point out to them, it's like, hey, these guys have got something that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And hotels and casinos especially, they hate to be lacking in any way.
In terms of the financial model for you, where do you make your cut? Is it in the booking? Is it in maintenance?
It's in the booking, but we've got 4 revenue streams, but we're basically making it in the booking. So we've got a net rate that we mark up on the hotel room. We've
mm-hmm.
got a net rate on the activity that we mark up. And really, we're inventory managers is what we are. So when the Boyd Gaming Group in Las Vegas signed us up, right, for 9 properties.
Mm-hmm.
So we're currently live at Suncoast, Sam's Town, and the Orleans. and the other six should be coming on board. When we're gathering up this inventory, hotels are giving us, like, say, a block of 15 or 20 rooms a day at different rates, seasonal, whatever. We also come in and we create a retail opportunity in that market. So in the Reno Tahoe area, we created a retail opportunity called Golf the High Sierra, where we're taking all these rooms and all these golf course access, all this other stuff, we're shoving it into our own retail opportunity as well. And we're doing some simple, you know, cost-effective marketing with those retail opportunities in each region as well. So SEO, some email marketing, we've got some pretty robust databases. So we'll do a little marketing. So we push to our customers, they push to us. And additionally, the staff that we're bringing on, we're hiring salespeople that have a book of business. So we've had two major hires in the last 6-7 months, kind of pre-funding. One of them was a gal that worked at the Atlantis Casino for 18 years. And she had a book of business that was, you know, she had over 100 large retail leisure groups, like golf groups, ski groups, bowling groups. And she's bringing not only some of her clientele to the table, but she's out and actively gathering more of that group business for us as well, which is its whole, groups are their whole, it's an animal all into itself. And those naturally flow to us through the lead channels on these white labels.
So for a company that sets up a tour in Reno, as an example, it's kind of imperative for them to come to you and be a part of your outfit if they want to do consistent business, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, they know that we've got, you know, if an operator, a tour operator came to us, say it was like an off-road racing adventure or something along those lines, they know that we can build the mechanism and then just walk it right over to the hotel and say, hey, embed this in your website. It's going to hopefully drive some more room nights for you. That's what they're in it for, is room nights. So they'll embed the tools. So, yeah, it's imperative that we be involved in that process for the operator standpoint. We're working with water parks in Las Vegas. We're trying to get the helicopter tour thing put together. In Vegas, the sky's the limit and things you could add into this.
So it's almost like running a Groupon. You know, you've got instant access to a large quantity of people for a tour operator or for an adventure park that otherwise would have to do some heavy lifting to get people in the door.
Yeah. And we turned around and double dip on the sales process. So when we go to a water park and say, hey, give us some net rates and let's work out this ticketing process because we got the hotel across the street that's allowing us to do all of their packaging. We'll build a mechanism and put it on the hotel website. But then we come back to the water park guy and say, hey, why are you just selling water park tickets? We can put a mechanism on your website where any of the hotels around you can be booked and people can add your tickets to it. You're providing a lodging solution now to your customers as well.
That's clever. So, in terms of the public market side of things, tell me what the company looks like on that end.
I think we started trading on October 4th, so we're just a little we're a month into this thing. So the story's getting out, and I think Rakesh is really helping us push pretty hard to get the story out there. We're trying to churn out a press release a week, but these last 3 weeks have just been post closing. And really chocolate sales trips, so we're kind of juggling a lot of balls, but it's been going very well. I think we opened up at 10 cents, and I think we're at 20 cents today.
That's good.
So it's been moving pretty quick in just a month. And I know RD's pushing the story. We've got partners in Vancouver, the gentleman that helped us get the deal transacted, that they've got a wide set of people that they talk to. Before we closed and when we were trying to get this all done, I presented to, probably 40 different guys over a year stretch in Vancouver, at investment houses, places like Canaccord and some other places like that. So I've pitched the story in a lot of circles. The Canadian pitch was a little bit different because this last 8 or 9 months, it's been kind of hard to get anybody's attention on anything but
marijuana.
Gold and oil. Marijuana. They all genuinely loved the story, but I think there was some quick dollars to be had in some of those resources.
So So what does it look like on your end in terms of revenue and profit and loss? Like, are you break even? Are you close to break even?
No, hopefully we'll be back to close to break even in 2017.
Okay.
2016 is pretty much our startup year, if you will. Even though I've had experience, you know, doing this for quite some time, in just this one market, our best year, which was 2009, I believe, mm-hmm. right smack in the middle of recession, we had our best year here in just one market. We did about 3.9 in top line sales and profitable. In 2011, it stopped snowing in this one market. So 11, mm-hmm. 12, 13, 14, we have 40% of our business right out the window because it just didn't snow. And that's when, you know, in 14, I kind of decided it's time to find the capital to take this show on the road and expand into new markets because I knew it would take off. But 16, my focus has been on the deal, and my eye has not been on the operation, so to speak. It's been trying to get this thing closed, and 16 is going to be a little bit of a down year in all areas, but mm-hmm. the amount of client sign up and things that we've done in the last 2-3 months is just off the charts, and our IT team is just buried with new build every day.
So how quickly can you scale it? Like if things suddenly got really hot for you, like obviously there's an element of building out involved in any new deal that you have, but how quickly can you expand that out to, say, if a Ramada came along and said, all right, we're in, is that easily doable, or is there a bit of a stretch? Would you have to hire? How does it work?
We'd probably have to hire a little bit if it was a big build with, say, if somebody came through. Right now we're on a pace. We can churn. If it's a segment that we've already done, like golf, ski, spa, mm-hmm. we can churn that interface today, mm-hmm. depending on, you know, the client. There's no lag time really for us in the build right now. The lag time for us is the time it takes for some of these hotels to sign the contract, get it back mm-hmm. to us, deliver all the digital assets. Some of them, like the Boyd Group, they ran it through their legal team, and it took an extra month just in the legal department. But I think right now, top end, I think I've seen them crank out 6 interfaces in a day. They were a little stressed out, but, you know, it's a couple a day right now with a team of 4. If we needed to scale for a nationwide chain or anything along those lines, we definitely could add 2 or 3 bodies and crank that up quite a bit.
What's the risk that a larger player will come along and see what you're doing and say, oh, we could build that for ourselves?
It's probably a fairly genuine risk, but the larger players have had the opportunity to do something like this for, since 99, 2000, when Expedia, Orbitz, and some of these guys jumped out. It's definitely a risk. I don't worry about the larger players. The smaller players, you know, I just don't feel like they can be as nimble as we are.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing the back ends of the Expedias and the Orbitz and knowing people that work for large companies, I don't feel like they have a whole lot of interest because the volume they're doing is still, you know, pretty darn good. But
right.
Eventually some folks will try, they'll try and get to this, but I just don't know if they catch up quick enough. But guys are more apt to buy people than they are to copy the model.
Sure. At what point do you think your market will be big enough that you'd be a genuine target for one of those to come along and snap you up?
It's a two-part answer. I mean, a lot of it has to do with virtual real estate. So the number of clients that we were embedded in across different geographies. So kind of the number that it sticks in my head is if we were embedded in 400 different client sites
mm-hmm.
and we were cresting that $15 million in sales number, I think that we would definitely be on some radar.
Really healthy. Yeah.
But that all goes out the window with one really cool piece of tech that nobody else can do, and we're always looking for that thing that's going to put us in a whole different category. And I've seen people go with just this great idea that they actually built out and have never actually implemented. We're building it and implementing it, so you never know. It could happen quicker, but
yeah,
that's not our end goal right now. Our end goal is to get to those kind of numbers where we've got 400 embeds and, you know, get to that $15 million in sales, which is half of our target for next year.
Okay.
Next year we're at 7.5.
So all told, things are going pretty well for you. Now you've gone public, you've got access to the markets, you've doubled in value since October, so that's a solid thing. What do you think are the risks going forward?
I don't know. I mean, there's probably a lot of them. This is my, you know, my first run at a public, you know, a public entity, and
mm-hmm.
You know, I worry about some of the risks that just generally revolve around tourism as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, terrorism. You know, we were around in 2000. I was around in 2001. September 11, and it was a pretty terrifying complete stop in people's activity for a good stretch there. So, you know, there's things like that that are, you know, obviously a worry. I'm not really worried about competition at this point. I mean, I know it's out there and it's something to think about, but, you know, we're hard charging.
I would imagine when someone signs up and gets your embed into their website, you've kind of got them from that point forward, don't you? I mean, to unplug is almost too difficult to comprehend for that kind of thing for a lot of companies.
Yeah, well, considering that there's no upfront cost or upfront risk to them, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, their cost is to give me that net hotel room rate that they give to any Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes down the road.
Sure.
And they're getting a team of folks that represent their entity like one of their employees would, and it's hard to take in the business. Now, there's people, we have producers and non-producers. We've got hotels that will book hundreds of room nights a month, and we've got some that'll book 10 a year.
Uh-huh.
For them, it's not a hard decision. For them, it's like, well, how come you're not booking us any business? And we can turn around and say, let's look at your marketing plan for golf, ski, and spa, and all these other things. What did you spend? And here's the phone log. Here's how many phone calls you had this year. You had 8,
mm-hmm.
and we converted 10. It's one of those things where we have some metrics. Their cost really is that they've got to market the program. They've got to make the phone ring and get eyes on the website, and we take care of the rest.
It's an interesting thing. What you're really doing is it's a online concierge that the hotel doesn't have to pay. Do you feel like that there's it's just an expansion road for you forward, or are there other aspects to this that are kind of a stage 2, stage 3 where you can add more value to what you're already doing?
Yeah, we've got a few plans that are, you know, that I can't really discuss at this point, but we definitely
sure.
have some technology plans that are going to add to what we do in some ways. Some things that we're working on right now will be completely different than what we do. We're kind of putting a suite of products together. We've got our new registration management software, which we actually, Vail Ski Resorts, there's three mountains here in Tahoe. They actually hired us to build a registration module for them that would allow their group customers to buy product seamlessly, allow their sales managers to, you know, build their own groups and provide that group customer with a private portal to make purchases.
Okay.
So buy lift tickets, add ski school, you know, do all those things. And there's other companies out there that do that kind of thing, but in a massive arena, a company like a Passkey will allow a convention to book into a hotel, right into the hotel system. But as far as I can see, you can't add things like a side tour. Our system allows even a wedding party. You can choose chicken or fish for dinner. I mean, there's so many pieces. So it all revolves around hospitality, but there's many tools out there that we're putting together that improve the efficiency of the host, if you will.
You've been listening to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. Today, Chris was speaking with Sean Schaefer, President and CEO of ZoomAway Travel Incorporated, currently trading on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ZMA. See you next time.